Well, I appreciate your prayers this afternoon. Lord, to bless this portion of His Word. I believe the Lord wants us to set our sights on the goal and not be easily distracted. One thing that we can know is that distraction will come. Opposition will come. Opportunity for us to allow our sights and our vision to be diverted to something else will come our way. But Lord, help us to be determined, as the song says, shall that which intervene deprive me of my right. Nay, on I'll go until I reach that city of delight. I'd like for us to begin this afternoon in the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 12th chapter. To the time, the season of year that's approaching, the time we remember the Lord's resurrection, Easter time, and the days leading up to that, I'm thankful that it's more meaningful to us than a carnival or a festival, a time to find something to put out of our lives for the space of however many days it is, then we're going to observe, and I'll abstain from maybe sin or maybe something I enjoy for a space of time. And that's the extent of what this season means. But I'm thankful for what the Lord came to do and the meaning behind it. I'd like to begin here in the 12th chapter of Exodus, the familiar story of the origin of the Feast of the Passover. Let's begin. It's the 14th verse. 12 and 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day shall ye put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Like to consider for a little while this afternoon the influence of leaven. Whenever we look back at the instruction that's given here, it could seem a little unusual, a little strange, as were a lot of the observances and the ceremonial rituals that the Lord would institute, and there was meaning to it. It's about more, as Jesus brought the understanding of, that it's not that that goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but it's that that comes from within that's defiling. But leaven is, no doubt, the sisters especially are familiar with yeast and the way that yeast works for it to cause a bread to rise. Well, it wasn't a packet that they'd go down to the supermarket and tear open the packet and pour the yeast in the bread. But it was, as I understand, a piece of fermented dough that they would keep over, maybe put it in meal or in flour or something like that, and keep this fermented dough until the time that they wanted to make leavened bread. Well, by the very nature of it, it implied a corrupting process. You were taking something of corruption that had started to become defiled or polluted, really, and you were going to take a piece of that and put it in to a new loaf, and it would assimilate into its own nature. Well, the prohibition here was particularly on this feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. He went so far as to tell them, you need to sweep your house. You need to go through and make sure all the leaven is removed from your house. So I want to consider a little bit of what the Lord meant by that. What is it that's so dangerous about leaven and why the Lord would be so concerned about it? As we mentioned, it implies a corrupting process. And we read throughout scriptures and like to look at maybe a couple examples of it. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is even, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Jesus, as was often his custom, would use the opportunity, the occasion of parables, to be able to teach and give instruction by a parable that the people he was talking to, that they could relate unto, that they could be able to understand by this parable a deeper meaning, a spiritual meaning that they could draw from it. So Jesus, as he had been dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, of themselves a religious people, yet he crossed over when he left them and he found an opportunity. There's something that I want to teach. The disciples have been observing the Pharisees and the Sadducees, been observing their mannerism and the way they conduct themselves. And he told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't understand at first. Lord, what is it that you mean? It's because we don't have bread? It didn't make sense. But the Lord began to explain to them. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Though they were a religious people, they had become corrupted from the beauty and the holiness of the plan that God had for them of following in his ways. They had strayed far from what the Lord intended, even under the law, what the Lord intended for them to follow. There was a process of corruption that had taken place. They weren't coming to the Lord and rejoicing because he had the words of life. They weren't coming because he was the Messiah. They were coming to him, tempting him. There was something that had gone wrong. There was a defilement that had happened within their hearts, within their minds, and it became evident. It was manifested as they came and began tempting Jesus. As they came and they asked questions of him in the pretense of, Master, we want to know something. Teach us something here, Master. And yet their heart was not to learn. Their heart was not to receive of the truth, but they wanted to tempt him and find occasion of fault with him. Some corruption. Jesus turned to them and the disciples and said, beware. Take heed unto yourselves of this leaven, because that thing that has corrupted them can also corrupt you if you partake of that. And so the parallel or the analogy that is used of leaven, it doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take the whole to be leavened. The whole thing doesn't have to be that fermented bread. You can take just a small piece and insert it within the dough, and it will assimilate, the whole will assimilate to the part. The whole will assimilate to that thing that you've put into it. And so the Lord instructs us to be pure, to be holy, to be undefiled by the corrupting principles and philosophies of this world. Paul said it unto the Corinthians this way, I fear, lest that by any means, like Satan has beguiled Eve by his subtlety, lest your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Guard your minds. Guard your heart. No matter how strong you may think you are, be careful the defilement of the influences around us. We can look around at the world and the philosophies of the world and think it'll never touch me. I know better. I know the truth. I've been raised in the truth. I know Church of God doctrines. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Something's happened. Galatians, at another place, has said, who hath bewitched you? There's an influence here. There's something from the last time that I was with you, Galatians, when you stood fast in your faith and you had a love for the Lord and a fervency, an eagerness, a zeal for the truth and the doctrines that you had received. What's happened to you? There's been some process that's taken place now, and you've been defiled. There's been a corrupting principle here. Who should hinder you? Did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? There's a persuasion that cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little bit. Just a small measure, a small portion. Folks, many times like to believe that they can control the influence of their lives, of the way they're influenced or what influences them and what doesn't. So a young person might say, I know they're not the best friends. I know it's not the best company, but I can control myself. I'm strong enough to not be influenced. Be careful. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And the instruction to each of us to be careful that we not be defiled with any pollution, with any little seed of leaven that comes not from him that calleth you. A little bit of philosophy, a little bit of the wisdom of this world that can come and be planted in our minds and in our hearts, that if allowed to work, that's the way the leaven works. You put it in there and you walk away and allow it to start working. The enemy would take, not to just corrupt the whole immediately, but if I can take just a little plant here, just plant a little bit of my influence, a little bit of my philosophy, my way of thinking in their minds, and allow that to start to work, we, if we're not careful, can be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the leaven of false doctrine, of the leaven of the world. 1 Corinthians now, the 5th chapter. First Corinthians 5 and 6 says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Lord willing, here soon we'll have an ordinance service and be able to observe the ordinance that Jesus commanded. And this is instituted by Christ himself as a part of that observance. There's a meaning behind it. There's a reason that we don't abstain throughout the year of going and buying a loaf of bread from the store. That's not the real meaning in the new dispensation that Christ wanted us to get a hold of. But he wanted us to understand the influences that can sway my mind and my heart. So it says, let us keep the feast. Let us throughout our lives keep the observance of what God instituted in Exodus. That I go through and not just at a certain period of the year, a certain time, but it's time for me to go through and do a spring cleaning. Time for me to go through because the feast time is here. And it's time to go through and check the cupboards and sweep the floor. It's time for all of the old leaven to be swept out. We want to be able to be partakers of something that is pure. You know, the enemy has been at work for centuries and millennia, corrupting that which Christ has instituted. Taking and corrupting that which is pure, that which is holy. Consider, for instance, the institution of marriage. That God created himself, that God looked on it and said, it is very good. And yet Satan would take and corrupt it. Satan would take and corrupt doctrine of the Word of God. It isn't that he necessarily will try to take us to a point of complete paganism. If the enemy could introduce to any of us a little corruption in the doctrines of Jesus Christ, a little bit of mixing of the pure doctrines of the Word of God, well, let's take and mix it with a little something else. Let's take a little bit of man's wisdom. You know, there's a better way now. You know, there's a more contemporary method of being able to reach this world. A more contemporary method of kind of keeping in step with the world that's around you now. You don't necessarily have to interpret the Word of God that way. You don't have to get rid of the Word of God. But think about it this way. Interpret it in this manner. And it does away with that conflict. See, and you can work with it, and Lord, help us to be careful. Be careful the influences that we subject ourselves to. The influences that the enemy may look at it and say, well, it's just a little pocket of false doctrine. Just a little bit here and a little bit there. And I think I'm spiritual enough to be able to take the good and discard the bad and feed on that. Lord, help us that we be very careful of the leaven of false doctrine, of the leaven of man's philosophy. The Lord has given us something that is pure in its simplicity. And the Lord doesn't want us to allow the doctrines of His church to be corrupted away from that. The doctrines that are in Christ Jesus. I'd like to look now at Luke the 13th chapter. Everything of which we've spoken so far is pertaining to a defiling nature of leaven, that which corrupts. But I'd like to consider a little different aspect to it now that Jesus left us. 13th chapter of Luke, and beginning in the 18th verse. Luke 13 and 18. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Was reading a while back about archaeologists and a find that they had made in the Middle East. They had found a clay jar or a vessel containing seeds that the best they could tell were from the times of Jesus. Seeds, some of them they recognized, some of them they didn't, and they went and cultivated some soil and pots and planted it, and it grew. After all those thousands of years, there was a particular one I was reading of was a date palm tree that's not known, and it's the form that grew from that seed that was extinct now. But they found that seed and they planted it in the soil, and it brought forth of the very same nature, the little seed. The scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is like that. And I want us throughout this and the next parable that the Lord gives to realize the nature that he's trying to talk about. Jesus told the people who were looking for a kingdom that was to come. People still looking for it, you know that? Still looking for a kingdom that'll come and be established and great things where Christ comes back and sets up his throne in Jerusalem and reigns over the world and the valley of Armageddon where the blood will be up to the horses' bridles. Folks, that's the way the enemy defiles the pure word of God. Every one of those things that I talk about, you can find in the word of God. You know the enemy will take and defile it? The enemy will take and add a little bit of leaven to it so that in form it looks similar. It sounds similar, and hence so much confusion in the religious world today. So much confusion, and from the book of Revelation, we encourage everyone that is able to join in the Revelation study that's coming up. The Lord to give us understanding. He's not the author of confusion. But what the enemy would try to do is take a little bit of truth, mix it with a little bit of error, and leave people's minds and hearts confused. That's not what the kingdom of heaven is in its true nature. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, does not come with observation. It's not an external kingdom. It's not something that you can say, lo here and lo there is the kingdom. Over in this nation is where his throne is. This is the extent of his dominion or his kingdom. That's not the nature of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation, he said, but it is within you. It is inside of you. It is planted inside the heart of men and women. That's where the seed of this kingdom is. Not something external with a great show. So it is that it's like a little seed that's planted down in the heart of an individual. The world may look at it and mock and scoff and say there's nothing to that. Those, as they did from the early times of the church, those pathetic Christians, at first thinking perhaps there's nothing really to fear from them, nothing really to worry, and then they began to grow and begin to prosper, and the word of God spread so rapidly throughout the land, and they began to realize this is a force to be reckoned with. We're going to try to stamp this thing out. But there's something whenever it's internal, whenever it's like this seed that grows inside the heart, this thing is grown before you perhaps ever even see it. It's something that's quiet. It's something without immediate observation. But I want us to realize what's happening. Though externally, perhaps you can't see what all's going on. With true salvation, more than a list of rules and regulations or church membership, the work of true salvation in the heart is like that seed that's planted deep inside, and it begins and completes a change of the nature that we are. The old leaven, the old nature of the loaf that was there. You take this little seed and plant it, and it assimilates to the whole. Let's go down a little further. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And that was the extent of the instruction that he gave through that. But consider what he said here. It's like a woman a householder, perhaps a mother and a wife who in the course of her cooking has taken exactly the process that we've talked about. Taken that leaven, that piece of fermented bread dough, and put it within all of this bread and till the whole of it was leavened. And Jesus said, this is like the kingdom of heaven. This is the way the kingdom of heaven works. Until the whole is leavened. Folks, the work that the Lord does in our life does not stop at the bumper sticker. It doesn't stop with a WWJD bracelet. It doesn't stop with a cross around the neck. It doesn't start on Sunday morning and end on Sunday evening. The leaven that the Lord, through salvation, would plant in our hearts is not something in the shallow external soil. It's about more than how loud I can shout, how high I can raise my hand. There's a quiet, influencing force within the heart of man that changes the nature of who I am. It changes the way that I would respond. It changes the very desires that I have. Thank the Lord for it. It gives me great hope to know that it's, you look at some of the, what appear to be on the outside, the toughest cases, and you realize if they would open the door to allow that to come into the heart, to allow the Lord to come as He's saying here, it'll change the person. You'll be a new creation in Christ. It assimilates to that influence. And so the Lord wants our lives to be completely, thoroughly influenced by His graces. Not that I have a piece over here that I reserve for the Lord. Not that I have a Sunday Clint. And then I've got another. You know, I believe it's part of being able to just deal with the stresses of life. We've got to be able to know how to switch one thing off and turn something else on. And I need to be able to do that. I need to be able, when I get home from work, I need to be able to leave work at work. I don't always do it real well. I need to be able to leave the stresses of work at work. And I need to be able to be there, to be present for my family. And so there's value in being able to do that. Whenever the Lord has given us responsibilities that we have to take care of, we can, as I tend to call it, bucketize our lives. This is my work bucket. This is my family bucket. And I've got to make sure that's full. I've got to take care of family here. Now it's time to take care of work and the work of the Lord, or whatever that is. Folks, when it comes to the influencing power of the gospel, there are no buckets. It is to completely pervade our thoughts, our mind, our hearts and desires from the inside out. It is to thoroughly change our person, to change who we are. It is such a beautiful picture to me. Thank God for salvation. Thank God that He'll change us. That He didn't just leave us with the old lump. He didn't just leave us with all the evil propensities and all the evil sinful desires and things within my heart and mind. And say, here's a bunch of rules that I need you to follow. You're required to follow. Folks, that's the law. The law didn't give grace to be able to deal with the inside, to be able to deal with the heart of man. It gave a set of commandments. It gave a law to bring to an understanding of their condition before God and to act as a schoolmaster to bring them unto Christ. But now, the Lord writes His law where? Not only on that plaque on the wall, but He writes it on our heart. The very seat of who we are, of our affections, of what makes us tick, of why I think the way that I do. That's where the Lord wants to do this work. It's quiet. It's without great show and fanfare. At first, perhaps people don't notice or observe, but it'll be noticed. Once it is done from within, once that leavening portion of Christ has been planted within our heart, folks, it will change our lives. It will change the way we want to dress. It will change the places we want to go. It'll change the things I enjoy listening to. It'll change what I want to do for entertainment. It'll change all those things as Christ influences my heart and my life. It will become apparent and evident. But it's like under that influence, deep down in the heart, as I allow the Lord to begin to change my nature. The song says, more like Christ, my heart does say. So I want to encourage us this afternoon. I trust that you get a little something from the thought this afternoon of the influence of leaven, the way that it can pervade our lives. On one hand, that which is not of Christ, that which is of the world, of the flesh, that I could look at and think it's just such a small portion. And I'm going to go just leave it over in this little corner of my life. The scripture says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? So it is with the works of the flesh. I cannot plant and put that, give place in my heart and in my life and say, I'm going to reserve, this is the flesh part of the life. This is where I go and I serve the flesh. But over here, all the rest of the week and everywhere else that I go, this is Christ. Because whatever you yield yourselves, you become the servants unto. And it will pervade the entire substance. It will pervade the whole thing. That which seems small and insignificant. And then on the other hand, that which the world calls small and insignificant. Where the world's wisdom is brought to foolishness. Where the Lord is able to take that which is just that little rock, that little stone that's hewn from the mountain. And He's able to take and cause that thing to grow and expand first within my heart. Starting from within the hearts of individuals. And cause that thing to grow and abound and expand as it changes the very nature of the lump, the very nature of who I am. And it's something then that the world can't stamp out. That's my desire, that I would allow the Lord to leaven and influence my life through and through. Start to finish, top to bottom, inside to out. That I would yield to His influence in my life and in my mind. Because we'll be influenced. Many times people like to think I'm my own person. I do what I want to do. Sometimes you'll see of a rebellious generation or maybe rebellious young people or people in the world saying I'm going to do what I want to do. There's nobody going to tell me what to do and not to do or how to dress and not to dress or what kind of fashions are acceptable. I dress just the way I want to dress. And you look at it and say, that's not of your own. That's of the world. That's what the world's mindset is. And you've just taken a page from their playbook. And you're following the very same influences that the world says you'll do. Because it's that leaven that influences the life. May the Lord help us that we yield ourselves only to His influence. You pray for me. Amen.